And we have a spiritual weapon called the Word of God, which we need to be using in our lives. And there's evil all around us, but it's not going to overtake us. There's darkness all around us, but it will not invade us. There are giants standing around us, but they will not slay us. There are pits of lions' dens waiting to engulf us, but they will not have us. Because the name of Jesus is more than a savior of broken flesh on a cross. It is a resurrected name that can never be destroyed or never die again. It's a name that came from a virgin birth as a sinner forevermore and seals us to that day of redemption. There's something about that name that brings us protection and healing and deliverance and breakthrough. It's in that name our trust must be placed and no other name. We're going to talk about that tonight, how powerful that name is. Because, you know, there's people who try to explain that name away or people that don't want to acknowledge that's the only way, truth and life. But I am thankful I know the truth. I'm thankful I know the way, and I'm thankful I know the life. And when you ever know it, now here's the deal. You can't make somebody believe in your Jesus. This can't go happen. You can talk to them. You can witness to them. You can pray for them. But once they receive that revelation, once they receive it and they realize for themselves who God is, it will transform their lives. When they get it for themselves. See, I can't go on mom and dad. My mom and dad raised me in church my whole life. You know, I was there from day one. We've raised our three children in church their whole lives. But until you get it, I couldn't just know God because mom and dad knew God. There had to be a moment I knew God because God knew me and because he passed my way and he called me by name. And so ever since then, I've known who God is. I've not always done what's right. I'm not perfect like Rodney. And I don't know the answers. I'm weak and broken, pastor. I'm a sinful pastor. I'm going to tell you something. I'm just thankful that God loves me, and I'm thankful that that name covers me, and I'm thankful that I know Jesus not just as a figure in the Bible or a character in the New Testament, but I know Jesus as Lord and Savior of my life. I know Jesus, my King, as my healer, my deliverer, my protector, my provider. He is my everything. He is the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He feeds me when I'm hungry and quenches me when I'm thirsty. God, that's who I know. He's everything to me. And I couldn't do anything without him. I would be nothing without him. There are no such things as self-sufficient men or women. There's no such thing as a self, what's the word they use, a self, when they achieve success, you know. No, no, no. All by the hand of God. All by the grace of God. Only by his blessing do all things come. The Bible says every good gift cometh from above. So there's power in that name. And we need to be praying in that name, speaking in that name, and believing in that name. For we are in a shattered and broken generation. And church, I'm telling you, I've said this for several years, there's a civil war about to break out in this nation. And it's not going to be like it was before. There's a civil war of ideology that's going to try to divide this nation and divide people and get people to hate somebody just because they believe in Jesus. Now, you've heard about this story, I'm sure. Doc, you probably have since you're an old Kentucky guy. About the woman in Kentucky. Have you heard about this story? She's a county clerk, and I know there's other principals involved here, and I know she works for the county, and that is a little makes it a little different in some ways, I guess. But her stance I'm proud of. Her stance I'm proud of. She is refusing to issue same-sex marriage license to same-sex couples. And her reason is that if you should go on YouTube, you can see a video where they're bombarding her, and these people are asking her, why don't you give us a license? What's fair about that? Say, where's your authority? She says, God's my authority. That's what she said. God's my authority. Now, they're going to call us haters, church, because we don't endorse their sin. Understand this. This is going to be a big driving wedge in our nation. This is here. We're not going to change it. It's only going to progress worse. But we better know where we stand and have the boldness to stand, not in hate, but on the principle of God's word. Just like she said, this is God's word. I mean, other sins, and yes, it is a sin. Here's the thing that's driving me crazy. At least acknowledge it's a sin. But they're not even acknowledging it's not a sin. Adultery's a sin. Sex outside of marriage is a sin. Stealing's a sin. Lying's a sin. All that's a sin. We understand that. And here we have this issue where this woman's saying, I can't do that in clear conscience because of my religious beliefs. So here's the deal. They don't see it our way, right? So why do we have to see it their way? It goes two ways. There's an old saying that sometimes we got to just agree to disagree, you know? And, you know, Doc's a very opinionated guy, and he hadn't done this a long time either. He's getting older, I'm getting better, I don't know. But early years, Doc would come through the linebacker, suck up my hand. He would say something about, I ain't sure about that message. I didn't agree with exactly what you said. I said, well, brother, that's all right. I'll pray about it. If I'm wrong, I'll come back and tell you. I'm like, Rod, and I ain't went back yet. But anyway, he has said that lately. And when he tells me I did good, I'm like, I'll tell Melly, Doc said I did good this morning. Doc said I did good. Woo, I got the Doc approval. And so, but I'm thankful that Doc says that because you know what? He's following what he feels. So he'll tell me, say, Pastor, I wasn't sure about what you said this morning. I don't know if I agree with that. Hey, that's fine. We love each other, man. We brothers. All right. We're not going to agree with everything. I understand that. But we have to make a stand on what God's word says. And with this big issue being a big balloon of saying you're hate mongers if you don't endorse it, you not, you know, whatever. You Christians are all that. Look, we Christians are supposed to be this. Followers of God's word. That's what makes us Christians. We place our faith in Jesus, and then we honor what his word tells us to the best of our abilities. And in clear conscience, this pastor before you, there's no way if a same-sex couple said, I need you to marry us. No, I can't. Don't you understand? I don't hate you, but I can't bring you into a union of marriage whenever God clearly in Genesis and in Matthew and other places, 1 Corinthians, talks about the relation of husband and wife. Man and woman. And so that's where I have to stand. And Christians, that's where we should be standing. But it's going to take some boldness because the pressure, we ain't seen nothing yet. Look at Matthew chapter 1. Matthew 1, we're going to talk about the power of that name. And of course, the name we're talking about is the name of Jesus. What makes it so powerful? We've got to start in Matthew 1 where it all began. This is where the name began. And this is the importance and sacredity of this name. This is when the angel appeared to tell Joseph and Mary about what was about to happen. Matthew 1, chapter 18. The birth of Jesus Christ was on the wise. It was near. When as his mother Mary was espoused or engaged to Joseph, before they came together, before they had any sexual relations, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. This seed of Jesus did not come by way of natural man. This seed of Jesus did not come through the carnal rim. This seed of Jesus came through the Holy Ghost. This what makes it right here. We see the difference in this seed versus every other seed. There's no other incarnate birth. This is it. She had not been with a man. It was impossible biologically for her to carry a child. But yet here she finds herself, child in her womb. How did this happen? The Holy Ghost spoke into that womb. And now here this child's about to be born. A child that would grow into a man that would change the world. Now, this was done. I'm sorry, verse 19. Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But when he thought on these things, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived, here it is again, in her is of the Holy Ghost. This seed was sacred. It was different. This seed was going to change the world forever. And it's still changing the world. And people are still so shook up over Jesus. Man, I'm telling you, that name just drives them crazy. It just, there's some, and the reason why, as we continue to read, there is no spiritual authority or power or influence other than this name. Nothing else works like this name works. And what amazes me, I love people that curse and talk ugly and swear how they use this name in vain. Isn't that amazing? That's the name they use in vain when they're cussing and swearing. I mean, this name has so much influence. It's so much in our DNA that we know there's something real about this. And that's why the demons don't want you using it because, man, remember when Jesus first got off the boat? He was going to the insane man who was in the cemetery who had been chained up because he was just insane. They'd cast him away. He was a danger to society and himself. And when Jesus stepped onto the shore, walked to the man. Now, this is just Jesus of Nazareth, the natural man at this point. It wasn't a vision. It wasn't a burning bush moment. It was Jesus, the natural Jewish man, walking on the shore. This other natural man looked at him and says, why have you come to torment me? Those demons in that man recognized the authority of who was walking to them. See, that authority is what crushed the enemy's head. That authority is what healed the sick. That authority is what made the cripple walk. That authority that power in that name. No other name can do that. It's a special sacred name of the Holy Ghost is conceived. Next verse. She shall bring forth a son and call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. No other name can do this, can wash away our sins. We sing hundreds of songs been created about washing away my sins. Jesus, you know, the blood never loses power. You know, all these songs we sing about Jesus. He's going to take your sins away. Can you imagine at that moment what they must have thought? Understand, these are Jewish people under the law, under bondage all their lives. And the angel says, all of a sudden, you won't be under bondage no more. All of a sudden, all these laws and commandments that's kept you away from God's is going to be replaced with the covenant grace of the blood of Jesus. And you no longer be measured by the law. Church, we've got to quit measuring folks by the law. It doesn't stand anymore in the sense of salvation or redemption. We measure people by the law still too much to say, have you placed your faith in Christ? Because he's paid the price for you. Man, he's done it all for you. He laid down his life and gave himself up that we, our sins, could be washed away and we could stand declared righteous in the presence of God, not because of what we've done, but because of who he is. Man, that's revelation that people don't seem to truly grasp because the devil beats them down. You're nothing but this. You've done nothing but this. You've done all the stuff you've done. I mean, if you're like me, that you don't want to think about your past, right? You get that about your past, you're like, oh my gosh, all the things I've done. And you get those images back in your head and people I've hurt, things I've said. You know, the devil just can keep tormenting you with that. We got to realize, nah, that's in the past. That's been covered. That's why Jesus came, to cover those sins and set you free, that you no longer are a slave to that sin, but you're a servant unto his righteousness. Very key. Next verse. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by the Lord, the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Man, God was going to be with us. He was going to take on form of a man, be in the earth, and be with us. That had not happened before. There were moments, yes. There were those supernatural moments, burning bush moments, different appearances, the fiery furnace moment when the image of the Son of Man was. There was those moments in time. But all of a sudden, God tells Mary, he's going to be with you. Emmanuel, God with us. And when we give our hearts to him, he's never not with us ever again. I mean, you're talking about some security to know God is with you. And he's not just with you when you do good things, because that wouldn't be a whole lot, would it? We do the bad things too. God's still with us. That's a good thing, that God doesn't abandon us. Now, John 1. Now, this is key in John 1:1. This is St. John 1:1. We'll read verse 1 and verse 14. I want you to see how these verses tie together here. In the beginning, which means always. Can't explain that. Don't ask me to explain it. Nobody can explain that. I know everybody, there's got to be a beginning. Well, good luck finding it. Well, where'd time start? Good luck finding that. Because as far as I know, it's just always been here. Blows my mind, but in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now go to the next verse real quick. The Word was God, and the Word, which is who? God. Was made flesh and dwelt among us. So Jesus was much more than a beautiful baby boy in a manger. He was God, clothed in flesh. And for the first time ever, the world got to see God in a physical visage or a form that they could relate to in some way. He had never appeared like that before in the likeness of man. But the Word was with God. The Word was God, which means the Word was God. Then the same Word, God, was made flesh. How was it made flesh? Through Jesus. Made flesh and dwelt among us. So everybody that had the privilege to touch the hem of his garment, to put his hand on the shoulder, to wash his feet, wash the feet of God. Touch the hem of God. You talking about something special. The God of all creation and all of his holiness and reverence and sacredness and gloriness appeared in a little place the size of New Jersey in the Middle East of a desert region, put sandals on his feet and a garment upon his back, lived a life of just, as far as naturally, very average, mediocre to life, born to common parents, born in a barn, not even in a hospital, a barn we're talking about. And here he is, God in the flesh, walking the earth. And every step he walked, God walked that step. Everything he touched was God touching that. Every man he healed, God was healing that. Every blind eye opened, God was doing that. This was a gift that we received, that God took on flesh. He had to take on flesh. What was the purpose of that? Because sin stood in the way. No matter how sweet Joe Brown is, sin stood there. And Joe Brown could say, Lord, I give my tithes 10% for 42 years, and I'm at every church service. I'm a deacon. I help baptize. I drive a church van. I teach Sunday school. I do puppet shows with my wife, whatever. And Lord, all those things. And God says, but the penalty of sin still stands. Somebody owes it. Somebody's got to pay for it. I had a guy come in the day. You know, I work a part-time job, and I was in a store, and this guy come by, and I said, hey, man, how's it going? I told Mel, this ticked me off. That's how people feel. I said, hey, man, how you doing? Good. Are you got a job yet? This is a guy up in his 40s, or, yeah, probably 40s. I said, are you working yet? He goes, nah. That's what you for, man. That's why you working, so I ain't got to. I about took a can of pork and beans and went upside his head. Are you serious? You just told me that to my face? Are you serious? That's why you're working, so I ain't got to. Yeah, somebody's got to pay for something, right? Somebody, we know, parents taught me this my whole life. We've tried to tell our kids that. There's no free ride. I don't care. There's a little advertisement at the Verizon phone place down here. It says free cell phone on their marquee. Every time Ashley go by for months, Mom, free cell. Honey, ain't a free cell phone. You got to buy a package. There's no free cell phone. Trust me. There's always a catch. We was eating a Mexican restaurant one day recently. Imagine that. And me and Mel was talking about the service wasn't real good or something, but we had chips and salsa. And Mel says, well, Jane, you got the chips and salsa. I mean, they're free. They ain't free. That's why we're paying $9.25 for the dinner. That's all in there. They've added it in. Nothing's free. It may appear free, not a separate charge, but it's all handled. They're making money on their chips and salsa. And so nothing's free. And so what happened? Sin stood in the way. And nobody could get to God. No, that's why they kept coming every year, bringing those sacrifices, all those animals, doves, lambs, whatever they could afford, and they would, spill the blood, and the priest would go in, do all that stuff year after year after year after year. Why? Because it stood in the way. And the Bible even says that the blood and sacrifice of all of those animals could never take away sin. But Jesus went in once and for all. I'm about to get happy up in here. He went in once and for all and gave us, obtained for us, eternal redemption. What a goat couldn't do, a lamb did forever. Hallelujah! That's what Jesus did for us. That's the power of that name. And what happened then? It removed that penalty that we owed. It removed it. I mean, think about this. Most of us have a mortgage payment or a rent payment. What if all of a sudden you go tomorrow, you wake up, and the bank calls and says, you don't have to send any more payments in. Your house is paid for. After they resuscitated you, really? Hallelujah. Or your landlord says, you know what? No more rent ever. You can stay here rent-free all your life. I'm going to charge no more rent. We're good. That's what Jesus did. All the sin that stood between me and you has been removed because of Jesus. Because that word became flesh, and that flesh had to die. See, the law required to be fulfilled, and we couldn't fulfill that. In all of our goodness and all of our works, we could not fulfill what the law demanded, but Jesus could. He was the perfect Lamb of God, sinless, that went to that cross, that gave up the ghost and fulfilled and satisfied the debt that was against us. That's what Jesus did. That's why it's so powerful, and that's why it's so sacred, and that's why it's so life-changing when people really grasp that revelation. That's who Jesus is, and that's the power of his name. Go to the next scripture. This is Acts chapter 4. I love this story. Acts chapter 4, beginning with verse 7. Now, what happened before this, we'll pick it up here in 7. What happened before this is when Peter and John walked by the gate, and the crippled man was laying there. And they looked at him, and Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto you, rise up and walk." So this man had been healed by the power of God. Well, of course, they all got upset. The leaders, Pharisees, governors, mayors, priests, rabbis, all of them got upset. They rattled their cage, you know, because here's something else, too. And this is among preachers and teachers and spiritual leaders, too. You know, when we try to get glory ourselves, or, you know, instead of giving it to God, then, you know, we get in trouble. And people want to feel like it's them doing something and not just God doing something. And so these Pharisees are like, "Well, what? I don't like what happened here. This man got healed, and people really catch on to this." It's kind of like how, you know, so many Americans for so many years have been blind to so many things politically or, you know, whatever, and we don't realize what's all going on behind the scenes. None of us really do, all the corruption, all the stuff. We don't really know what's happening around us. And it's like all of a sudden, you know, our eyes, the eyes of the people are opened, and they begin to rise up, and the government gets scared. Uh-oh, we're in trouble. They know what's going on. "Well, I'm going to be out of a job. What am I going to do? These leaders didn't like what happened because it was going to affect their influence on the people. So they're mad at Peter and John. They bring them into the council, bring them inside all these leaders, leadership council, and they set them in the midst, and they said, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" They couldn't deny it happened. They knew this man. This man was a cripple from birth. And for many, many years, he sat at the gate begging of alms. We would call it today the people we see on the curbs holding signs, you know, "Homeless, feed me." He'd been there his whole life. Everybody knew who this guy was. Everybody knew he wasn't a poser. He couldn't walk. They knew that. And so these Pharisees couldn't deny what happened. He said, "What name have you done this?" Peter said, filled with the Holy Ghost, said to them, "You rulers of the people and you elders of Israel, listen up. If we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all." This is, oh, I love this. "Be it known to all of you, to all the people of Israel." Now I want you to picture this. I mean, some of us are bold in church, and we should be. This is our home. This is our safe zone. We're safe here. We can raise our hands, we can pray, we can dance, we can talk about Jesus, we can, you know, this is our safe place, you know. Not many people gonna make fun of you in church. You have a few, but just don't worry about them. You ain't gonna have many. They go love you. But all of a sudden, what happens if you're downtown Statesville and you're at the commissioner meeting and you've got commissioners around you, you've got government people around you, you've got a mayor there, you've got the DA and the whoever, police officer, whoever. You got all these officials all in this room. You're in downtown Statesville, and Joe Brown's in the middle of them, and a man got healed in front of all these people staring at you. What name, what power did you do this? And Joe Brown rises up with boldness and says this: "Let it be known to all you mayors, all you commissioners, all you people, let it be known." I mean, this was boldness. You know why he's bold? Because he's filled with the Holy Ghost. See, when you really know Jesus, you get bold. People that aren't bold, I'm not sure how much they know Jesus. Because when you really, see, you can't be bold by something you don't believe in. You can't rise up in something you haven't experienced yourself. But when you've experienced it, when you've tasted the goodness of God, when you've seen his miraculous hand on your life, when you've been in his presence behind the veil, when you've been around the throne, there's nobody talking you out of who God is or what God can do. Because I know, because I heard him, I saw him, I spoke to him. He woke me up this morning and put me to bed tonight, and nobody will tell me my God's dead because I know he's alive. So they knew this, and they said to all the people that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you have crucified, whom God raised from the dead, because you couldn't keep this man down. You couldn't bury that name. You couldn't exterminate that name. You couldn't destroy that name. For that name had to rise from the ashes of death, because there's no other power in any other name but this name of Jesus. He says, you raised him from the dead, even by him, by that name, does this man stand whole before you. Glory to God. By that name, this man was healed. We didn't do nothing.
We didn't heal nobody. It wasn't us. Don't look at us. It was him. It was the one you crucified that's now alive. Because if you went to the tomb lately, guess what? He ain't there. Have you been by there lately, Mr. Rulers? He's not there. Nobody didn't steal his body because we were there. We walked with him for 40 days. He showed himself. He shows the nail-scarred hands. He talked with us. And we were there when he ascended into heaven and says, wait on me. As you see me leave, I shall return. He saw that. They were there when that happened. And nobody could talk them out of who he was. That's why he's whole, by that name. We got to get back to invoking and speaking and praying and giving that name the authority that it has in our own lives and using it to break strongholds. Because we can patty cake prayer all we want and say all the great gracious prayers with our great language. But if we don't include Jesus, it's falls the floor because nothing matters. There's no power in a church. There's no power in a nomination. There's no power in a preacher. The power's in the name. The power's in the name of the one who lives and reigns forevermore. The one they tried to kill but couldn't. The one they tried to bury but rose again. The one that said it wouldn't happen, but yes, it did. The one that tried to run out of town but just kept on coming back. That's the one name that breaks every yoke, every stronghold, heals every broken heart, forgives every past sin, delivers us, seals us, and gives us a future that the devil can't never rob us of. Glory to God. I love verse 12. Look at verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other. There is not salvation in any other what? In the name. That's why we have to teach people the truth. You are not saved by the church you belong to. You're not saved because you were sprinkled as a little child. You're not saved because, maybe not saved because you even said a certain prayer. You are saved by knowing and calling and believing on this one and only name. There is no salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven that's been given to men whereby we must be saved. Glory. Look what saved means. Go to the next verse, next slide, Melanie. This is what saved means in the original Greek. These are a breakdown of what this word saved means. Because when we talk about saved, sometimes we put it in a very narrow sense. We think about, okay, I'm going to heaven. Good news. That's the best news. I'm glad I'm going to heaven. Aren't you glad, Doc, you're going to heaven? I'm glad I'm going to heaven, too. That's good news. But it means more than that. Saved means deliver, protect, heal, preserve, make whole. So let's look at it this way. God is able to deliver me from my sins, protect me from my enemies, heal me of all my diseases, preserve me and seal me to that day of redemption, and make me whole and finish the work the law can never do. Hallelujah. That's what salvation means. And that's what that name brought us. And that's why there's power in that name. There's no other name can do those things. We can't heal ourselves, can't protect ourselves, can't deliver ourselves. I mean, we are in a world of chaos. If you watch the news, it's erupting all over the nation. Hate speeches, hate crimes, all of the nation are rising up. We better know who we believe in. We better know who we serve. We better seal ourselves with the one thing that the evil can't penetrate. Because a bullet can't save your life, a knife can't save your life, and you cut somebody out can't save your life. But what can save your life is knowing who Jesus is and giving him your life. And saying, Lord, go with me. Protect me and seal me. Seal my family. Seal my home. Protect my home. Put a hedge about me, Lord. Lord, do like you did in the old days. Put a cloud by day to watch over me and a fire by night to lead me. God, watch over me and put your covenant upon me that no evil can befall my side, that no plague shall come nigh my dwelling. That, God, you protect me. You'll deliver me. You'll heal me. You'll keep me from all harm. That I will show forth your glory and others will see that the God I serve is real and alive. And there will be no questioning who you are. Because that's happening. I said a few months ago, and I believe that. You're going to see a time. You're going to see a season where God's going to do some things that are undeniable. Where man cannot explain it away. It's going to be undeniable that God Almighty, just like this man, they couldn't deny that they healed Jesus. They healed this man. They couldn't deny that. They were mad about it, but they couldn't deny it. It's two again. You're going to see that. Where people are going to experience God in such a deep and victorious way that they will know your God must be real because only God could do that. Only God could heal that. Only God could save that. Only God could restore that. Only God could fix that. Only God could do that because he's not done yet. The world's trying to shut him up, but guess what? God's still talking.
can't shut God up. It's like Ashley. You can't shut God up. I mean, Ashley keep talking when you tell her to be, you know, I mean, you keep talking. I said, she just keeps on, gets that last word out. We was riding one day, and I told her, I said, look, if you don't say a word, we'll get home. It's only like 10 minutes. I'll give you $5. I mean, that's how desperate I was. I said, just don't talk for 10 minutes. I'll give you. And so she sat there, and I said, I hear you humming. I said, no noise for 10 minutes. Nothing. I don't hear nothing. I don't hear you breathe. You know, she's kind of moving. I said, don't be moving around. Just sit still. It was hilarious. We got the house, and I mean, of course, you know, you're $5. But anyway, I just want 10 minutes apiece. I'm like, man, come on. So you can't shut God up either. He's going to keep talking. Look at Philippians 2:6. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant. And that's what he teaches us to be. We should be servants of Christ, not lords, servants. And was made in the likeness of men. Now remember, he had to be in the likeness of men to pay the price for sin. Being formed and fashioned as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name. Which means not only is his name above other rulers or other spiritual beings, if you want to call it, people believe in that, but he gave a name higher than disease, poverty, sickness, tragedy, fear, discouragement, depression, bondage, strongholds. That name's above any other thing that will try to worship itself into your life. That name, it can't touch that name. It's elevated above all those things. That's why we're afraid. We call on the name of Jesus. We're discouraged. We talk to Jesus. We say, Lord, in Jesus' name, I need this lifted off of me. God, take this fear, take this bondage, take this pain, take this hurt, take this fear, take this discouragement. And sometimes we got to press through. And I've been in bad places in my life. I'm talking about spiritually and emotionally. I've been in bad places. I've been in dry places. I've been in places I didn't want to be. I've been in places I was like, is this season going to ever end? And then it's like God sometimes just quickly just turns it around. All of a sudden I get a peace I didn't have before. And all of a sudden I don't know why I got it, but I've got it. Where God gave me that peace that I needed. Because in his name, he's got what you need. In that precious name. You know, Jesus died on that cross for us. He paid the price in full. So if he did that for us, I mean, he broke the bondage of death. He broke the bondage of hell. He broke the bondage that of the penalty we owed, and we owe it no more. We have been declared acquitted by the blood of Jesus. And we stand in that. We embrace that. And we don't let the devil, with these names called, you're sorry loser, look what you've done, look where you've been, never going to change, always going to be who you are, nothing's ever going to be different. About, you know, God, and there are people that, there are people that really feel this way. Maybe you're here tonight and feel this way. God can never, ever see me, preacher, as you're saying he sees me. There's no way. He can never forgive me because you don't know I've been bad. I've been in some real dark alleys. I've done some bad stuff. So what's worse, honestly, in God's eyes, doing bad stuff in a dark alley or tearing down your brother and sister? You know, we've all got our issues. And that's what Jesus came to die for. He sees you differently than you see yourself, because when we look in the mirror, we see what we've been. God sees who we are. We see the old creation of sin in our lives, and God sees the new creation of righteousness in our hearts. God sees us so different than we see ourselves, and it blows my mind because I feel so unworthy for God to even use me as a pastor. I feel so unworthy. But I know he's called me to preach. Not because I preach good. I just know I feel better when I preach. So I know he's called me to preach. And I tell Melanie, I've been pastoring 13 years, and I still get so excited for every car that pulls in the parking lot. Like a little boy at Christmas. I'm like, oh, we got somebody. We got visitors. I hope they'll stay. I hope they don't say something stupid today. And they don't ever come back. And it's just, I get so excited. It never gets old. It's a feeling I've never lost since those fire department days of looking out that little fire department window. I did the same thing here. You know, Sunday mornings, I'm right there. If you ever notice that front blind's always cocked, that's because of me. I'm not a creeper. I'm not a stalker. It's because I'm here by myself getting ready for service, and I'll crack the blind and kind of see who's, you know, coming. And, you know, and then a lot of times I'm waiting on my wife, who's always running, sometimes almost late. So I got to make sure she's going to be here so I have some singing in place. So I'm looking at the window, singing for her card. Then I see somebody, and I mean, there's times I almost squeal like a little girl. You know. Anyway. TMI. Oh, thanks. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. This covers all three realms, don't it? Kingdom of God, kingdom of Satan, and the natural earth, natural realm. Every knee is going to bow. I love when Tim Tebow is getting so much criticism for dropping on his knee when he's playing football, and everybody's talking about, you know, a lot of people talking about that, shouldn't be doing that, and that ain't necessary. You know, and then we see other things. People come out of the closet, and they're heroes. They're on the front of magazines, and, you know, it blows my mind. This name of Jesus, this commitment to follow him brings so much persecution. Do you realize how much persecution it was when it first happened? I mean, Doc, thank God you weren't born in, you know, AD 40. You might have, well, you'd be really old right now, but other than that, you might have been martyred. You might have been the ones martyred, you know, killed for the cause of Christ. Because Doc's a pretty strong guy. And I imagine they come to Doc with a sword and says, look, you believe in this Jesus? Yeah, I do. Well, I won't kill you then. If you believe in him, well, okay, I guess you have to kill me then. He'd have probably been one of them ones hung upside down or, you know, stoned to death or whatever. So there have been people paid a great price for the cause of Christ, a great price. We've not paid that price, church. And, you know, right now there's not a danger of paying that price right now. All God calls us to do is to serve him, to be faithful to him and to honor him and to love him and to stand for him. Think about Mount Golgotha. And I want to go to Israel too one day so bad. I so want to go over there one day. I really, really do. I think it would be so incredible to see those sites and some of those places that we read about in the Bible and them becoming real to us. I would love to go to the Wailing Wall. I would love to see the Temple on the Mount. I would love to see some of those things that, you know, that to see those rivers and know, you know, I just love to see some of those places. To know Jesus, my Savior, was in this land at one time, you know, walking the earth. That name has such an incredible influence on people's lives. That name still drawing. I want you to think about this. Remember before you got saved, when God first called you. Now imagine this. You might have been in a church service. You might have been at home. You might have been listening to radio in a car. You might have been at wherever you were. But you begin to hear the voice of God. You begin to feel something bigger than you draw you. That's an incredible thing. You know, and the world will blame that on psychosomasis or, you know, mental influence or, you know, the church gets people drummed up for this great hype. And that's why, as a pastor, I've really, all these years, I've tried to be very honest, transparent. I want the Holy Spirit to move the way it's supposed to move. Church, the Holy Spirit's moving. Man ain't got to do nothing. Man ain't got to do a thing. You ain't got to drum up the Holy Spirit. You ain't got to drum up God. Hey, God, boom, 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 boom. Let's move tonight. Boom, boom, boom. You know, if the Lord is in it, you know, when they were singing that second song, the first song too, but the second song, one part of it, I felt an ushering of the Holy Spirit come on me in a way I had complete chills all the way down my body. It just ushered. I felt just a presence just cover me right there. You can't buy that. You can't. There's an authentic move of the Holy Spirit that's still very real. And remember when you got drawn to the altar, because some of you were some bad, hard cases. Some of you had done some bad things. Some of you were maybe had really in a place where, you know, nobody could reach you. But then something happened one Sunday or Wednesday or Friday, wherever you were, something happened that you felt a pull you never felt before. And all of a sudden that hardness melted away. All of a sudden you didn't want to be that person you were anymore. You want to be a brand new person. For many of us, we shed tears at our moment of conversion. I did. Many of us shed tears, and we felt God's presence so strong in our lives. He absolutely, in a moment, in a single moment, changed our lives. We went from being a hard, rebellious rock, not letting anybody in, to a melting transforming child of God. We walked up to that altar, left our seat as a hardened, rebellious person, and walked back to our seat as an humbled, forgiven person. That's the power of what Jesus can do, and nobody else can do that. No other power can do that. No other name can do that. It is amazing. I went to my friend Pastor Mike. They've got their own place now, their own church. I'm so happy for them. They finally got their own place, and they had a dedication service about a month ago. Me and Melanie went to it. We got invited. It's a Saturday night. He wanted to anoint the place with oil, go to a different building. And I remember it wasn't such a strong presence of God. You know what? There was no music playing. There was no noise at all. We all just went up to the front. He gave us each one a little bit of oil. He said, just go around the building, anoint what you feel led to anoint, and just pray. And I remember walking through that building just feeling such an overcoming power. I mean, I broke down in complete tears and went to Mike. And the Lord had given me just a little word for him. And I went and I'm breaking down crying on his shoulder, trying to whisper in his ear what God had said to me. And I couldn't even hardly get it out. I was so overcome by his presence. There was no drumming up anything. It was the quiet stillness of the Holy Spirit that filled that place. God is still moving that way. No other God, no other name, no other spirit does that. Now, there are fabricators. There are phonies. Yes. And the devil is very real. And those demonic spirits are very real. And absolutely, they have an influence as well. But they are not bigger than this name of Jesus. Every tongue should confess. There's another verse, Melanie, is that it? Every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You know what Lord means? Above all. Lord means above everything. If he's your Lord, that means he's above everything. You put him before your marriage. You put him before your children. We've told our kids before, I remember Jamie one time, you love God more than me? You love somebody you can't see more than you love me? Yes, we love God more than you, son. Because without God, we wouldn't have you. Without God, I wouldn't have eternal life. Without God, I wouldn't have a promise of a future. Yes. We love God more. And then, yes, we love you and the family next. Yes. I mean, you know, I know that may sound harsh to say to your child when they ask, isn't that what the Bible says? We love God with all of our soul, heart, and mind. Have no other gods before thee. I mean, we have to love God more than anything. Because, see, God gave his life for me. He died for me. There's going to be a day me and Doc will be side by side in that glory land. I'll be in a big condo on the beach. He'll be in a shack in Kentucky-looking woods. But it'll all be good. I say, you want to come over and surf with me in the ocean? There ain't no sharks in this ocean. We're in the kingdom of God. No, there's sharks. You can ride the sharks, the kingdom of God. Woo! Yeah, ride that. You know what? We'll be side by side. And you know what? We're going to say, man, Doc, thank God we believed. Aren't you glad you believed? Because now we've got the rest of eternity to celebrate life. It was worth the seed of faith to receive the harvest of his righteousness forever. I thank God for that. One of my friends passed away this week. Teresa Speaks, Kevin Speaks' sister, probably saw that. 47 years old, had cancer, passed away. And I'm so thankful that she is not in pain anymore. She struggled for many years, last several years with this. And to know now that her redemption is real gives us such great hope and comfort to realize these short years on earth are no time. I mean, think about it. I know I pick on Doc, but it wasn't that many years ago. Doc was that young, dark-haired Marine. That wasn't that long ago. I know it seems like a long time ago, but it wasn't that long ago. And here Doc is now, and you know what? When we get to eternity, these few years on earth are nothing. They don't even compare. Place your faith in this one name that can save you and seal you and preserve you and make you whole. That name of Jesus. There's no other name greater. No other name higher. Glory to God. That's my message.